volume 29, 10, 12, 31. But alas, for those who do not live in our divine will, how many of our acts broken without fulfillment? How many of our divine lives only conceived or at most born without growing? Okay, so we see here that the human things that we're doing, Jesus says, doesn't please God. The reason God breathed into Adam was so that Adam would possess the image and likeness of God to give back to God what is God's. And since the fall of Adam, we've only done things humanly, but Jesus did things divinely. Our Blessed Mother did things divinely. So our God wants us to begin to live this abundant life. And he says, how many of our acts are broken without fulfillment for the souls who are not living in the divine will? Now think about it. Nobody's lived in the divine will until Louisa. So God wants us to repair, and we do in the name of everyone and everything, past, present, and future. So our job that is given to us by God is to begin to live the true life of Jesus, the true life of Mary, which has never been lived by any saint. The saints followed the holy virtues of God, a virtue or two of Jesus, a virtue or two of Mary, but that was it. And yet they became great saints, done in a human manner, not a divine. So now God is asking us to, again, begin to do our life or redo our life in a divine manner. So he says, they break the continuation of our work and bind our arms, unable to go forward. They put us, Triune God, in the impotence of a master who has his land and is prevented by his ungrateful servants from doing the work that is needed in his land, from sowing it, from planting the plants that he wants. Poor master, keeping the land sterile without the fruit of that he could receive because of his iniquitous servants. Our land is the creatures, and the ungrateful servant is the human will, that opposing to our own puts us in the impotence of forming our divine life in them. Now, you must know, this is a command of Jesus, that in heaven, one does not enter if he does not produce our divine life, either conceived at least or born, for so much growth as each blessed has formed of our life within himself, such will be his glory, such will be his beatitude. Now, what will be the difference between one in whom it is only conceived, born, and grown in a small proportion, and one who has let us form fulfilled life? The difference would be so great as to be incomprehensible to the human creature. The first will be like the people of the celestial kingdom, and our assemblies will be like princes, ministers, and noble court and royal army of the great king. Therefore, one who does my divine will and lives in it can say, I do everything, and I belong even from this earth to the family of my celestial father.
Sorry.
So here we have the saints will be in heaven, it says very clearly, by how they have fulfilled God's life. Okay, we will be on earth as the saints possess it in heaven by fulfilling God's life. Okay, so it says very clearly that this royal army that he is forming is the truths that he is breathed into Louisa, and now he wants to breathe into us. He wants us to participate in this. So volume 29, 10, 26, 31, my daughter, life sanctity consists in two acts, God giving his divine will and the creature receiving it. And after she has formed within herself the life of the act of the divine will that she has received, given it back again as her act, as act of her will, so that to then receive it again, giving and receiving and giving, everything is in this. So we have to look at our breathing. We breathe in, we breathe out. Our heart pumps the blood in, our heart pumps the blood out. We walk with one foot and then we move the other one. Everything is to receive and give. Jesus, everything is an I love you from God. And he wants us to enter into that I love you. And once we receive that I love you, we give back to God, not our love, but his love. See, it's not to participate in just the human anymore, but to participate in the divine. Giving and receiving, receiving and giving. Everything is in this. God could not give, he says very clearly, more than his continued act of his divine will to the creature. The creature could not give more to God for as much as is possible for a creature than his divine will. Receiving into herself as formation of the divine life. In this way, giving and receiving, receiving and giving, my divine fiat takes dominion and forms its kingdom in her, and the whole interior of the creature forms as though the people of the kingdom of the divine will, the intelligence, faithful people that glories in being directed by the sovereign commander of the divine fiat, and the crowd of the thoughts that press themselves around and aspire to know always more and to love the great king who sits as though on a throne in the center of the intelligence of the creature. The desires, the affections, the heartbeats that are unleashed from the heart increase the number for the people of my kingdom, and oh, how they throng around its throne. And they all stand at attention to receive the divine orders and even lay down their lives in order to execute them. So here, our God is showing us that what we're supposed to be doing is receiving from God and giving back to God. Receiving from God, giving back to God. It's the water coming against the shore. It comes to the shore and then goes back out. Comes to the shore. It's to receive this and to give back to God. What an obedient, orderly people, the people of the kingdom of my fiat. There are no contention. Thank you. And no disagreements, but the whole crowd of people of the interior of this fortunate creature wants one thing alone, and like the fiery army, it posts itself in the fortresses of the kingdom of my divine will. Then in the interior of the creature becomes all my people. It bursts out in the interior and increases in the people of the words, the people of the works, the people of the steps. It can be said that each act formed by the celestial people contains a password written in characters of gold, will of God. So here, I mean, we're going to, why are you washing the dishes? Why are you driving the car? Why are you baking bread? It's to do it in the will of God. Not just to do, but to live in the will of God. What you're going to experience is this continuous army of I love yous, this continuous marching for the conquering of the human will so that the divine will reigns. Our God wants us to begin to understand why we are doing what we're doing. It's not just to do the will of God, but now, as he says, to live in the will of God. And when this crowd of people moves to exercise its own office, they put at the front the flag, the motto Fiat, followed by the words written with vivid light, we belong to the great king of the supreme fiat. See then, each creature who lets herself be dominated by divine will forms a people for the kingdom of God. See, our God wants us, pleads with us to begin to understand that as we read these in the volumes, the Book of Heaven, as we begin to read this, study this, and put this into practice, we become part of the kingdom of God. And it's the army that's already been established in Louisa that we are participating in. And this army is going to conquer the human will. It's going to conquer all your worry, your fear, your anxiety, your complaints, your negativity, your sin. It's going to be gone. You are going to begin to live the life of heaven, no longer the life of earth, as Our Lady teaches Louisa. And what happens is our life becomes peaceful, full of peace, joyful, full of joy, and happy. Nothing bothers us. That's why when the chastisements come, and they're going to come, Jesus says the survivors will be living in the divine will. He says that those that are living in the divine will, the chastisement will have little or no effect upon those souls. So everybody else is going to get to the point of despair. Everybody else is going, because what do they depend on? What do they look for? Is it sports? Is it their bank account? Is it their family? What do they treasure? All that's going to go. What's coming is the kingdom. So everyone is going to despair if they're not surrendered to God. Excuse me. Okay. So our job is to begin to live a life that has never been seen since Adam. To begin to live the life of Jesus, to live the life of Mary. What's so beautiful about this gift of the divine will is you fall more and more in love with Jesus and Mary. That's what's so great. Okay. Do you know where I stopped?
Yes, it's on
page 13.
Oh, okay, thank you. I'm looking at the bottom. All right. My daughter, volume 30, 11, 4, 31. My daughter, human will had no act of life. My human will had no act of life, but rather it was the act of receiving the continuous act of my divine will that I, as word of the Celestial Father, possessed. So we see that Jesus came to earth not to do his will, but to do the will of the Father. Therefore, all my acts, my pains, my breath, my prayers, my breaths, my heartbeat, that I did, as human will would undergo the life of the divine will, form many ties to retie the human will to mine. And since these human wills were like houses, some collapsing, some others damaged, and others reduced to ruin, my divine will, operating in my humanity, prepared with my acts the helps to sustain the ones collapsing, to cement the ones damaged, to raise again upon their very ruins the houses destroyed. I did nothing for myself. I did not have any need. I did everything to reorder and to the human will. Not only my only need was love and wanting to be loved back. So here Jesus is showing us that the divine will, he lived in the divine will and he repaired the human will. He repaired all of our lives to get us back to the place where we're supposed to be, to surrender our human will so that the divine will can reign. Now, in order to receive all my helps and my pains and works as operating works, speaking voice and helping messengers, the creature must unite her human will to mine. And immediately she will feel herself retied to mine, and all of my acts will offer themselves around to do their offices in order to sustain, cement, and raise again the human will. As soon as she unites herself and decides to do my divine will, all of my acts like a fierce army place themselves as defense of the creature and forms the boat of safety in the storm of the sea of life. But for ones who do not do my divine will, I could say that she receives nothing, nor can she receive, because my divine will alone is the outgiver of everything I did for the love of the souls. So here, see, this is what's going to come. Heaven is coming to earth. Heaven is coming to kiss earth. What's so sad is a lot of people want to do good things, holy things, and saintly things, but they don't want to do divine things. See, to do the divine will is to be free of the human. And a lot of saintly people do saintly things, good things, holy things, to get a pat on the back. You're doing a good job. You know, I've been a good person. You know, the divine will has no concern for self. It's to do this for the glory of God, to do this for the sanctification of souls, to live this life so that the kingdom can be established. So as that one nun said, her life is wasted because her whole goal was to be a saint. And the divine will is not to become a saint. That's volume 1 through volume 10, to become a divine mirror of Jesus. But to go beyond that, to have Jesus reigning in us to such a degree that God is alive. We're not living anymore. Jesus said to Louisa, you become the skin of me. I am alive. I'm gazing in your gazing. I'm speaking in your speaking. I'm dancing in your dancing. I am alive in you. I totally and completely possess you. You are just the skin, as if you were doing it, but I, God, am doing it. So it's for a lot of people, it's hard to let go of holy, saintly, good things, to let God reign. It's really to die to yourself. Our human will has to be crucified on the cross with Jesus. What does that mean? Your worry, your fear, your anxiety, your complaints, your negativity, your sin is nailed to the cross. You're never going to give life to that again. And the consequences of being nailed to the cross is peace, joy, and happiness. You're filled with peace. You're filled with joy. You're filled with happiness. Nothing can interfere with you. It's not what you think. It doesn't matter. It's not what you say. It doesn't matter. It's not what you want. It doesn't matter. What matters is Jesus is alive in you. He's reigning. He's walking through the grass barefoot with your feet. He's smelling the flowers, and it's Jesus smelling in our smelling. It's Jesus hearing in our hearing. See, what's going to happen is with our five senses, we're going to see, hear, smell, taste, and touch the love of God all around us. We're going to begin to live heaven on earth. And there's no worry, there's no fear, there's no anxiety, there's no complaints, there's no negativity, there's no sin. And what's so beautiful about this is you begin to experience heaven on earth. See, there's no time or space in the divine will. You can go back to Bethlehem and be there when Jesus is born. You can go to Golgotha and be with Christ crucified. You could be in Nazareth and look at Jesus as a little child. You can be at the Sea of Galilee and be with Jesus and the apostles. There's the wonderful thing about the divine will, there's no time or space. You see, that's why I'm saying don't limit God. Let God take you where he wants to take you. Let God bring you where he... So praying the rosary isn't just, Hail Mary, full of grace, Lord, blessed are you, Jesus, only Mary, God, pray for that. And Hail Mary, full of grace, God, it done. It's to be with Jesus and looking at Jesus with the eyes of Mary, to fall in love with Jesus, to be at Cana, to be at the Jordan when Jesus is baptized. See, the our intellect, memory, and will has to change. Our intellect, we're going to understand things from Christ's perspective, not from a human perspective. We're going to, our memory is going to be of Jesus, not what people said about me or what they did to my family. It's in memory of Jesus, to look at Jesus, to be with Jesus, to talk to Jesus. And then our human will is to be surrendered so that the divine will reigns in us. See, this is not magic. It's to enter into the life of Christ. To hear and see and smell and taste and touch the I love yous that are all around us. To enter into paradise, to enter into heaven while on earth. See, this is what Jesus is saying. If a soul doesn't want this, Jesus says, I can't do anything with that soul. How can I give the soul everything they want to give if they don't want to leave their human and enter into the divine? See, bilocation is going to be a common thing for people because we're going to be with Jesus, where Jesus is. We could go back to the Garden of Eden where Adam is. You could go, where Adam was, and the Garden of Eden is still in existence. You could go back to, there's no time or space with a divine will. And this is what's so amazing. Your life becomes free. You are free to worship God without fear. You become holy and righteous in God's sight all the days of your life. This is the fulfillment of the promise to Abraham. So again, as you read this, let God take you where he wants to take you. You know, don't limit what God wants to do. For some people, he could do things that would be astonishing. For those of the people that don't want what God wants, then God can do very little. He will not interfere with your freedom. He's a gentleman, and if you say no, God says God backs off. But let God have his way with you. Let him take you where he wants to take you. See, it's a beginning of a whole new spirituality that has never been seen. A whole new life that has never been experienced by any of the saints. This is what's so spectacular about this. Volume 31, 12, 31. My divine will is everything. I mean, that in itself, my divine will is everything. In order to give itself to the creature, it wants to be recognized. It wants to interact. It wants to negotiate with the soul. And the more you visit the divine will in its acts, the more bound and committed the divine will finds itself. And the divine will begins the dispersing of its capital. And all the truths and all the knowledges that I've given to you, Luis, about my divine will, again, that's what God's going to give. Has this perhaps not been the capital that I've made in your soul? And it is so exuberant that it can fill the whole entire world with divine light, with divine love, with divine sanctity, with divine grace, and with divine peace. And was it perhaps not after a round you did in its acts that I was already waiting for you with all love in order to give you its pledge and advances that its kingdom would come upon earth? See, that's one of the things. As you make your round, it's not even you that's doing it. It's Jesus. And he says here, I was already waiting for you. See, this is the amazing thing about the divine will. It's not even you wanting it. It's Jesus wanting in you, wanting it. I mean, that's how close he is to you. It's not even you. Are you reading the divine will because you want it? Absolutely not. Jesus in you wants it. Jesus is in you has already prepared your soul for this gift. Jesus is already waiting for you to let him take you where he wants to take you. See, but if you're using your human intellect, you're going to say, well, this is crazy. This can't happen. God says, fine, then it can't. But when we let God reign, he takes us where he wants to take us. He fills us with peace, as he says here, with divine sanctity, divine light, divine grace, divine peace. Again, you gave your pledges and my fiat gave you its own. And it can be said that each truth and word it spoke about was a measure it took in order to form its kingdom and call up it made in order to form its army, a capital it dispersed in order to maintain it, joys and delights to draw creatures, divine strength to conquer them. In fact, we, the triune God, first do deeds and order everything, and then we show and make known the deeds that we have done in the soul. I mean, that's what God is doing. So what we see is this great gift of the divine will is nothing that has been seen before. I mean, let God take you where he wants to take you. I mean, it's spectacular. It's heaven on earth. You get glimpses of heaven. You get glimpses of earth, which is going to be heaven. Heaven is coming to earth. This is what we've been praying for 2,000 years. Volume 33, 27, 32. My daughter, my conception, my birth, my hidden life, my gospel, the miracles, my pains, my tears, my blood, that was shed, my death, united all together, formed an invincible army in order to accomplish my redemption. In the same way, all of my manifestations of my divine will to you, Luisa Picaretta, from the first word to the last word that I will speak must serve to form the fierce army, all of love, of invincible strength, of irresistible light, out of transforming love, and they will cast a net around the soul in such a way that if she wants to get out, she will be caught inside. She will remain so entangled as to be unable to get out of it. And while she tries to get out, my many manifestations about my divine will shall continue to assail her in such a way as to extend its net even more. So seeing herself entangled, she will get a taste for the so many beautiful truths and will feel happy for having been caught in the net of my many truths manifested. So they will form the fulfillment of the kingdom of my divine will. Therefore, each of my manifestations on the divine will is a weapon that must serve to complete a kingdom so holy. And if I, God, manifest it and you do not say it, you cause the necessary weapons to be lacking. Therefore, be attentive. So, bad space, I manifest it. And if you, Louisa, do not write it, if we do not read it, we will cause the necessary weapons to be lacking. Therefore, be attentive. Read what Jesus is saying. See, he's counting on us to link ourselves to Luisa Picaretta so that the kingdom can be established on earth as it is in heaven. God's counting on us to do that. Sorry. Okay. So, In addition to this, you must know, again, this is a command from God. You must know that each word that comes out of the uncreated wisdom given to Louisa Picaretta is a divine life, a divine substance, a divine work, a divine instruction. So each manifested truth of our divine will shall have its own office in our kingdom. Many truths will have an office of forming the growing life of the divine will in the soul. Others will occupy office nourishing the soul. Others will be act as teachers. Other truths will have the office of defenders in such a way that they will place themselves around the soul like an army so that no one will be able to touch her. Okay? So as you read these truths, Jesus is forming an army around you. For what? For what reason? So that the kingdom can be established in you, your human will not be able to defend itself anymore. It will not be able to defeat the divine will anymore. So as you read these truths, you are being changed. You are being transformed. So he says, where are we? See then, the necessity of my speaking. So prolixious of the many truths that I have manifested, it was the kingdom that I had formed. It was not formed with a few words, but with a few acts and offices. It takes so many of them. Each truth of mine has the virtue of occupying the office in order to maintain perfect order, perennial peace. It will be the echo of heaven, and they will swim inside the sea of graces of happiness and under the sun that knows no clouds. The sky will always be serene. So here, all this God is doing, these thousands of words that he has dictated Louisa are going to change us. They're going to transform us. They are going to conquer us. We will not be able to say no to God. See, this is why he said, I've saved these writings for the worst of times. As we begin to read the knowledges of these truths, our lives are changed forever. They cannot be the same anymore. What was considered holy for centuries is going to be really nothing compared to what God is going to do for us. I mean, look at the lives of the saints, how great, how powerful they were. Yet, in the divine will, they're just human. They're human holiness. God is going to give us divine holiness. This is why a lot of people, when they read the divine will, they're shocked because what about Saint Joseph? What about the greatest man born of woman, John the Baptizer, is nothing compared to the least in the kingdom of God. The least in the kingdom of God is Louisa. She's the littlest. The greatest man born of woman cannot compare to the least in the kingdom of God. See, what's coming is something that's so spectacular, it's just unbelievable. And all God is asking of us to do is to give our fiat so that we can begin to live this. My truths on my divine will shall be the only laws that will dominate the creature who will enter to live in the kingdom, laws not of oppression, but laws of love that will sweetly make themselves loved, because in them they will find the strength, the harmony, the happiness, and the abundance of all the goods. Therefore, courage and always forward in my divine will. Our God has wanted from the beginning of time to bring us back to paradise. And when we fell out of paradise, when we fell out of eternity, we've been trapped in time and space. We lost the preternatural life. We lost the life that Adam had before the fall. And again, science says right now we use 10% of our brain. Well, when we were in paradise, we were using 100% of our brain. Our bodies die. It says, Scripture says 70, 80 if you're strong, your bodies die. Okay? That's not the way it was supposed to be. We were supposed to live eternal lives, one with God. And so God has now said, I have redeemed you. You have learned the basic ABCs of the Catholic faith. Now I will give you Louisa so that you can go back to the kingdom. We're not supposed to be living here. You're not supposed to get out of bed like, oh, like that. Yeah, that's not, that was not part of life. We're supposed to jump out of bed and be young. I mean, that's, we're supposed to be the children of God. You know, our God has great plans for us. But we have been so outside of the kingdom for so long that it's hard for most people to embrace this. Because, well, what did St. John of the Cross say about this? What did St. Peter say about it? Well, St. Peter really talks a lot about divinity. But when you look at what St. Peter, he gives us a clue of what's coming, but he has no idea of how powerful this is going to be. Jesus explains this to Louisa, and now is explaining it to us, because we are alive at this time to embrace this kingdom. Time is coming to an end. And we have to get ready for this. Again, we have to see the time we're living in. Volume 34, 30-32. I felt myself all immersed in the divine volition. A crowd of thoughts preoccupied my mind, but always about the fiat itself. Because in the divine will, one cannot think of anything else. And it's true. When this becomes your life, all you have is the divine will. I mean, it's hard for me to give a homily about just redemption, because everything is divine will. Everything is to begin to live an abundant life. And I was preaching, well, when I was ordained in 77 as a deacon, I started preaching about the divine will because that's what I was taught in 76. And I don't know how anybody, I mean, it doesn't, again, redemption is wonderful, but sanctification is magnificent. It's all divine will. It's the life we're supposed to possess. And most priests, most deacons, most bishops have no understanding of this, and it's not their fault. They have never read Louisa. And that's why I'm saying, if you love a priest, give him the book of Hours of the Passion. Give him the book of Virgin Mary and the Kingdom. Give him the book of Father Bucci's book of Louisa. Give him a taste of this, and then ask him, what does this mean? And then God will teach them. Because that's their job. That's the priest's job. Sweet, it's sweet enchantment. It's light. It infests everything. It's so many truths that line up all around like a formidable army. Send far away all that does not pertain to it. The happy creature who finds herself in the divine will finds herself in a celestial atmosphere, completely happy, the fullness of peace of the saints. And if she wants anything, it is only that everyone would know a volition so lovable, so holy. She would want that everyone would come to enjoy her happiness. And that's the truth. As you enter into this gift, you're just filled with peace, joy, and happiness. And all that you want is others to possess it. That's all you want. And then you try to find people who love the divine will, and there are few and far between. Our life is to live this. I mean, it's to be nothing less than to be divinized. I mean, this is what God wants. Nobody possesses this life yet. We want it, we desire it, but it's very far from us. Okay. Volume 30, 7:14-32. Good daughter, this says nothing. In fact, you must know, okay, the command of Jesus, that the prayer that the acts done in our volition, because they enter our divine act, have such power that they must bring to the creatures the good that they contain. That's what you're going to see when you pray to Louisa. And again, there's a lot of people that need prayer. Somebody mentioned it earlier. There's many people in our family, our friends, our neighbors, our coworkers, our parishioners that are sick, that are ill, that are physically, spiritually, mentally, emotionally going through difficult times. Pray to Louisa. Ask Louisa to intercede for you and to bring healing to the souls around you. This is what Jesus says. The prayers, the acts done under violation because they enter our divine act have such power that they must bring to the creature the good that they contain. They place themselves as guards of the centuries, and they guard them with so much love, with unconquering patience. They wait and wait, and with the light that they possess, they knock at the hearts and make themselves light for the minds without ever tiring, because they are not subject either to tiredness or to dismutation of the power, and they act as sentries, as faithful sentinels, who do not leave other than when they have to give the good that they possess. So here you have it's going to affect everyone. It's going to bring about everything that you pray for is going to be answered. When I was in Italy just a couple weeks ago, I went into a church, and I went up to this guy and I said, "Can I say Mass here?" And he looked at me and I said, "I know Francesco Travassi." And the man said, "I live with that guy." It was just like that. So, see, God answers every one of our prayers in a powerful way, in a way that just astonishes us. And what we have to do is, the more we enter into the divine will, the more God works in a very, very powerful manner. You cannot understand. Even before, like for example, I don't know how many times I'll be saying Mass and I'll say, "Oh, the phone's going to ring now," and it rings. I mean, it's not that I have, you know, ESP. I knew you were going to say that. But God is always there. God is always telling us what has to happen even before it happens. Even, you know, just thinking about something, God answers your prayer. And the reason is because the divine will is so powerful that it must act. And it's not even me thinking in my thinking. It's Jesus doing that. And that's what he does. He leads, he guides, he directs. He takes care of everything, every aspect of our life. And the more that we allow the divine will to reign, the more powerfully God can work. And that's what he says here. He says very clearly, they place as guards of the centuries, they guard them with so much love, with unconquered patience, and they wait in the wait with the light that they possess. They knock at the hearts and make themselves light for the minds without ever tiring, because they are not subject to either tiredness or dismutation of the power of the centuries of the faithful sentinels, and they do not leave when they are given the good that they possess. These acts are the possessors of my volition in an absolute way. They want to give it to the creatures, and if one escapes them, they take aim at another. If one sentry does not receive them, they do not stop, nor they do not depart, because we, Triune God, give them the sentries in their power, and they form and will form our divine army in the midst of human generations, past, present, and future. See, everything's going to change. The form of the kingdom of our divine will. And in these acts, there is the human crowned with divine power, and they give to the creature the right to possess such a kingdom. There is our divine will operating in these acts, and it gives God the right to reign and dominate the creature with our omnipotent fiat. They are like the down payment and the capital that pay God on behalf of the creatures and have the right to give what they have paid for to the human generations, like sun that does not withdraw or ever tire of beating on the earth with its light to give the goods it possesses. So do they, more than suns, go around through each human heart. They have to go around the centuries, and they're always in motion, nor do they ever give up until they have given my operating will, which they possess, more so, since they know with certainty that they will obtain their intent in victory. See, what's coming is the divine will. Jesus says he's planned this. And now is the fullness of time. Remember, it was the fullness of time when Jesus became man. The fullness of time, God became man. And now with Louisa, the fullness of time is coming again. But it's not for redemption. The fullness of time is now for sanctification. This is why Louisa is back in the Vatican. I remember when the postulate of the cause was named, a woman from Argentina, and I was furious. What does a woman from Argentina know about Louisa Picaretta? Now, who's our Pope? Is a Pope from Argentina. You know, God had it all planned. He put this woman in who's friends with the Pope, and the Pope is going to know about Louisa if he doesn't know her already. It's God has got it all planned. And everything's going to happen, and it's going to happen very quickly. That's why we have to get ready. It's going to happen very, very quickly, and when it happens, it'll be like turning on a light switch. I mean, that's the other thing, too, that you're going to discover. When